Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Let's move forward on library plans. Ector County commissioners this week expressed support for forming an advisory library committee that would help determine whether the county should build a new library or upgrade their current facility. They also indicated supporting the hiring of a consulting firm to help develop a strategic plan for the library. During Tuesday's commissioner's court, Judge Debbie Hayes said the commission would vote on the advisory committee proposal in October and possibly the hiring of the consulting firm. "I think this is an excellent idea for the board to consider," Judge Debbie Hayes said. "There's no question our library has been overlooked for a very long time. It's time for us to move on this issue." Randy Hamm, chairman of the county's current five-person ad hoc library committee, asked commissioners to consider establishing a more formal advisory committee. "An advisory committee would be more structured and have actual responsibilities like reviewing library staffing, traffic and programming issues, and report back to commissioners," Hamm said. The committee would also add more members and conduct regular meetings. Hamm said he proposed the new advisory committee because he and other members of the ad hoc committee felt more people in the community needed to have input in the library's ultimate fate. "It's too big of an issue for just five people to decide," Hamm said. The ad hoc committee is also recommending that the county hire Virginia-based Ivy Group consultants to help the county develop a strategic plan for the library. The company, one of three firms that bid on the job, would be paid $60,000 to $70,000 and would look at the cost and practicality of building a new library or renovating the current library, Hamm said. Friends of the library would contribute $25,000 to the hiring of the consulting firm, and the county would be asked to cover the rest, Hamm said. Several commissioners verbally expressed support for hiring a consultant. "There are several pros and cons to both options," Hamm said. "The current library is antiquated, physically deteriorating, and would require a sizable investment to upgrade," he said. "It's a model based in the 1980s, Hamm said. "It's filled with a lot of outdated books and materials. It also lacks adequate meeting and classroom space," Hamm added. "One of the biggest challenges facing construction of a new library is, where do we put it?" Hamm said. "Another challenge is to dispel the myth that libraries are no longer needed," Hamm said. Odessa Arts announces schedule change for Las Nueves Tamaleras. Due to the conflict with the Permian High School Odessa High School football game and the ECISD 100th anniversary tailgate party, the performance of the Las Nueves Tamaleras, scheduled for October 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Ector Theater, has been canceled. Ticket holders for Friday's performance will be able to use their tickets for Saturday's performance or may return for a refund. In addition, the screening of the short film The Good Balloon has been moved to spring 2022. The performance, scheduled for October 9th at 7:30, will go ahead as planned. Tickets are available at theector.com. For more information, contact Odessa Arts at 432-337-1492. Police investigating theft. The Odessa Police Department is looking for a man reportedly involved in a theft. The reported theft happened around 11:40 a.m. August 5th in the 2800 block of East 11th Street, the OPD press release detailed. A man reportedly unlawfully entered a fenced backyard and stole some tools. OPD has released a photo of the man that can be seen at tinyurl.com/55JZ25HY. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact Detective Jay Campbell at 432-335-3328 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 21-00135555. Obituaries. Maureen Steinon Anderson, Odessa, Texas. Maureen Steinon Anderson, 87, of Odessa, Texas, entered her eternal rest on Thursday, September 9, 2021. Maureen was born in London, England, on August the 8th, 1934, to the late Marius Steinon and Lucille Leighton Steinon. Maureen is preceded in death by her husband of 64 years, Peter, Marius Steinon, father, Lucille Steinon, mother, Francis Steinon, brother, David Leighton Anderson, son, and Christina Marie Aloha Anderson, granddaughter. Maureen is survived by her brother, Julian Steinon, California, children Carol Marie Bent of Gilbert, Arizona, Richard Lee Anderson of Tucson, Arizona, Peter Jerome Anderson of Dodge City, Kansas, and Laura Kristen Smiley Scott of Odessa, Texas, and daughter-in-law Sherry Aston Anderson of Orlando, Florida. She is also survived by 10 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, and a number of nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held Saturday, October 2nd, 2021 at 10 a.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, the family wishes you to consider making a memorial donation to the Nature Conservancy in her honor. Frieda Mae Assay Thiesfeld, Odessa. Frieda Mae Thiesfeld, 99, died peacefully on Sunday, September 26, 2021. Frieda was preceded in death by her husband Edmund Ed Thiesfeld, son Gary Thiesfeld, and grandson Ryan Thiesfeld. She will be lovingly remembered by her children, Beverly Wilkerson, Steve Thiesfeld, and Roddy Thiesfeld, and his wife Deborah, as well as her 12 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Frieda was born on November 14, 1921, in Paxton, Illinois, to George and Ethel Essay. A viewing will be held on the evening of Friday, October 1st, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. following a funeral service and burial on Saturday, October 2nd, starting at 3 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home in Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 28, 2021. Education section. You teach to cultivate area STEM teachers. The University of Texas Permian Basin is pleased to announce a new partnership with You Teach, a program that recruits and trains STEM majors for the teaching field. UTeach Permian Basin will be housed in the College of Education at UTPB. The purpose of this prestigious program is to prepare highly qualified science and mathematics teachers according to the UTeach model developed at the University of Texas at Austin. UTeach Permian Basin has been made possible thanks to a generous $1.9 million investment from the Permian Strategic Partnership. Proficiency in STEM subjects is crucial to advancing economic opportunity and success in the workforce, particularly in our industry, and we recognize we are facing a shortage of teachers to nurture a passion for these subjects in our students. The UTeach program strengthens the regional pipeline of STEM teachers while providing a sustainable program model for other institutions of higher learning across the region, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP. A key component of the UTeach program is the paid internship. Students who enter the UTeach Permian Basin program will teach a bachelor's degree in science or mathematics field in 4 years while simultaneously earning a secondary teacher's certificate. The program is streamlined and the curriculum is designed specifically for future science and math teachers. We are excited to add UT Permian Basin to the growing national network of UTeach programs at 49 universities across the U.S. and to the expansion of the national recognized UTeach program into West Texas, said Kimberly Hughes, UTeach Institute Director. This program will address a critical need to provide excellent STEM teachers for the students in the Permian Basin. The UTeach program has the potential to produce many more STEM teachers each year, effectively doubling the number of STEM teachers in our region annually and having an even broader impact through professional development, coaching, and the modeling of best practices in the classroom. The need for STEM teachers in the classroom and at all levels is growing rapidly. UTeach helps future teachers develop the tools and skills they need to bring innovative, project-based learning to schools. Participation in UTeach Permian Basin includes specialized advising and mentorship. Graduates are highly sought after in school systems across the country. The College of Education deeply appreciates the vision that the PSP and UTeach have for preparing STEM teachers in the Permian Basin. This grant will be a game changer in UTPB's ability to prepare the next generation of math and science teachers who are ready for the realities of today's classroom and focused on helping our local students in fulfilling to enter to be fully ready to enter college and the STEM-related job market, said Dr. Larry Daniel, UT Permian Basin's College of Education Dean. We know UTeach graduates produce high-performing students. This partnership with UTPB to bring the UTeach model to the Permian Basin will benefit our educators and students for years to come, while also elevating the profile of our educational environment. We are excited to see this project come to fruition, added Bentley. MISD to install LED lighting. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees has given the green light to the new cost-saving LED lighting throughout the district. The project will include retrofitting all existing fluorescent and incandescent lighting, both inside and out. Adding this state-of-the-art lighting will be a huge upgrade to all of our campuses and other facilities, said Kelly Spencer, Chief of Administrative Services. Our schools and classrooms will look and feel more modern. The impact on the learning environment will be tremendous. The exterior lighting will have an impact as well, as the District Safety and Security Committee recently identified outdoor and parking lot lighting as a top priority. The new LED lighting will present a major savings to the annual budget for years to come. The approved contract will cost the district just under $2.78 million, but is expected to result in an overall savings of over $8 million over 10 years by increasing energy efficiency and lowering power costs. Financial benefits include an annual savings of nearly $500,000 in electricity costs and an annual savings of nearly $50,000 in light bulb replacement costs. The majority of bulbs included in the project are linear tubes, but installation will also include high bay lights, can lights, exterior post lights, wall packs, and occupancy sensors. Each of these light fixtures come with a 5 or 10 year warranty. The contractor for the project is Fort Worth-based Aquila Environmental, which has performed similar installations for Greenwood, Plano, TCU, and many others. ECHS at MC grads pursue careers in Midland healthcare. Leslie Alvarez and Marisol Terran have a lot in common. Both attended Midland ISD elementary and junior high schools. Both graduated from early college high school at Midland College, and both are now well on their way to becoming healthcare professionals. Alvarez graduated from ECHS at MC in 2019. At the same time, she also received an associate degree from Midland College. In the fall of 2019, she transferred to Texas Tech and will soon graduate with a major in biology and a minor in chemistry. "I'd always thought I would be a physician," she said. "I'm still considering that, but I am also interested in becoming a PA, a physician assistant. This past 18 months during the pandemic has caused me to reprioritize a lot of things in my life. What I do know is that I want a career in the healthcare industry where I can help people, and I want that career to be in Midland, near family, the people I love." Marisol Terran is 2 years younger than Alvarez. She graduated from the program in May 2021, also receiving an associate degree from Midland College. She will remain at Midland College one more year as part of the Primary Care Pathway Program, a fast-track program to medical school. She is also the current Vice President of Service for the MC Chapter of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. Currently, Terran is completing her application for early acceptance to attend the Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine. If accepted, she will be able to start medical school in the summer of 2023, after she completes 1 year at the University of North Texas. "The journey has not been easy," she explained. "I usually stay late in the library or in the Fox Science Building to make sure to complete all of my assignments and projects. Courses in the Primary Care Pathway program move quickly, but I've always enjoyed fast-paced environment. I guess that's one of the reasons the program appealed to me. I liked the idea of being able to graduate from high school with an associate degree at the same time. I enjoy being challenged, and I have found that I thrive where I can be involved in projects with a lot of pressure and intensity. Family is important to both of these young women, and both have parents who are disabled. Alvarez's father suffered injuries from an oil field accident. Terran was raised by a single mother who is disabled. In addition to her mother, Terran also lives with her grandparents. My family members have played a huge part in my academic journey," she said. "I've wanted to be a doctor since I was in the 10th grade, and they have encouraged me every step of the way. They have been supporting and encouraging me to become a doctor, even though it will be expensive. Thankfully, I've received several scholarships, including $2,500 each semester from the SLOW scholarship until I get my bachelor's degree. I have also received the Pioneer Legacy Scholarship, the Phi Theta Kappa Star Scholarship, and several donor-directed scholarships through Midland College." Alvarez said she is extremely grateful to the Fasken Foundation for their unwavering support in her new academic endeavor. "Any uphill battle is easier when there are people behind you pushing you up that hill," she said. When Alvarez graduates from Texas Tech, she plans to take a gap year and earn money to further her education while she works as a lab instructor. During this time, she will also be studying for the MCAT at Medical School Entrance Exam and the GRE Graduate School Entrance Exam. "I plan to take both exams so I can be prepared for either medical school or PA school," she said. "So much has happened in my life since I graduated from the program. I was just settling in at Texas Tech when the pandemic hit. I was living in the dorms and had made friends and joined a few campus clubs and organizations. We left campus for spring break in March 2020, and then we were told not to come back. All our classes would be held online. I decided to leave Lubbock and stayed in Midland, but because my family lives outside of town and we didn't have reliable Wi-Fi, I would drive into town to study and get my classes done. Sometimes I would park in a parking lot at Midland College and use their public Wi-Fi, and other times I'd hang out at Starbucks. It was also during this time that my older sister Karina was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and passed away. Her three children, the youngest of whom is 2, are now living with my parents. It's been tough, but our family continues to be there for each other, and Karina was and continues to be my biggest inspiration. The pandemic played a large part in Marisol Terran's desire to eventually be an emergency room physician. During the pandemic, I started volunteering at Midland Hospital since many of the volunteers couldn't be there because of the COVID. I volunteered at the front desk and still do. Even during the pandemic, I wanted to help my hospital and develop the necessary communication skills needed for the medical field. The volunteer work led to a paid part-time job as a scribe in the emergency department. I work approximately 20 hours each week and follow the physicians to each patient visit and chart for them. Even though it was stressful at first, I'm enjoying the fast-paced environment of the emergency room. While both Alvarez and Terran said that their main love is science, they also have interests in humanities, arts, and social sciences. They said that being a part of the Midland College Honors Program helped them broaden their horizons. During her time at Midland College, Alvarez researched and wrote a paper on the effects of a border wall on the ecosystems of surrounding border states and the social, educational, and political impacts. In addition, her honors project on gun control won honorable mention at the 2018 West Texas Symposium of History. During her time at Texas Tech, she has worked with the Kingston Labs, and through her research, she won first place presenter as the 2021 TTU Undergraduate Research Conference. Terran completed 5 Midland College Honors Projects, won 3rd place in the Rebecca Watson Creative Writing Contest, and 4th place in the Hilda Simmons-Levitt Poetry Contest at Midland College. Her research paper for one of the projects, entitled Applications of Mathematics in the Workplace, is currently under review for publication. Leslie Alvarez and Marisol Terran both admit that they weren't sure if they would have realized their ambitions to become healthcare professionals if it weren't for the opportunities they had through ECHS at MC. They both credit their success up to this point in their lives to not only the program, but also to supportive, loving families. Fortunately for Midlanders, both want to return to the community to pursue their career ambitions in the healthcare industry.
Viagra and nitroglycerin. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband is taking Eliquis, 5 milligrams, half a tab daily. He has had erectile dysfunction for 15 to 20 years and is 78 years old. Since we are in a new marriage, he obtained Viagra in Mexico. His cardiologist would not prescribe it. What precautions should he take or symptoms to look for when he starts taking it? He also takes hydralazine, metoprolol, Lipitor, and Isordil. J.B. Answer. While I wish you both a happy marriage, he should absolutely listen to his cardiologist. This doctor is refusing to prescribe Viagra for a very good reason. It cannot be taken with any form of nitroglycerin. Isosorbide mononitrate, Isordil, is a long-acting form of nitroglycerin. In combination with Viagra or similar medicines, your husband's blood pressure can drop into a very dangerously low level and stay that way a very long time. He should talk to his regular doctor or a urologist about other options such as Alprostadil that can be safely taken along with nitroglycerin-like drugs.
Here was the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 30th. Spiteful ex causes legal nightmares. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years and friends for 8. We share a daughter who is a toddler. I have a son with my abusive ex as well. Although we are financially stable, we qualify as low income. I am the breadwinner. My boyfriend had a hard home life and was a troubled youth growing up. He has a criminal history, which is why my family opposed our relationship. He's a wonderful father and has changed his life, but we have experienced many hardships because of his past. Because of a phone call from my ex, the state picked up his most recent charge from 4 years ago, and he is now facing prison time for a crime he did not commit. We are both devastated. he has become withdrawn and is now at a paranoid level of distrusting. I know he has every right to be upset, but after 6 months of urging him to seek professional help and fearing he regrets being with me, I'm wondering if I'm doing myself a disservice by not seeking happiness elsewhere. I know I should be there for him because he needs me, but he won't make future plans or seek better job opportunities because of his fear of prison time. What should I do? Signed, In a Corner in Wisconsin. Dear In a Corner, you are in a difficult situation, but don't cut and run just yet. Advise your boyfriend that reclaiming his future may require the help of a criminal defense attorney. Then help him find one who will take his case and defend him if the need arises. And while you are at it, maintain as much distance as you can from your vindictive ex. Dear Abby, I've had a male friend, Herb, for more than 35 years. He has helped me a lot with things such as repairs at my home. Many years ago, I became pregnant, but the baby's father and I didn't end up together. When Herb offered to marry me and raise my child as his own, that's when I realized he had feelings for me. I explained that this was a kind offer, but I could not reciprocate his feelings. Over the past 10 years, Herb has become touchy-feely, and it makes me very uncomfortable. He will kiss me on my forehead or come from behind me and hold or hug me while rubbing my back. I have told him how it makes me feel, and he laughs it off. He also makes remarks like, quote, "Oh, I've never been in your bedroom," end quote. Or while we're on the phone, he tells me he is in bed and we are having pillow talk. What can I do? He's been a good friend, and I hate to lose his friendship, but I really don't know what else I can say to him to make him understand how he makes me feel. Signed, Too Friendly in Ohio. Dear Too Friendly, try this. When Herb gives you an unwanted kiss or hug, tell him you do not enjoy it when he invades your personal space and you don't want it to happen again. If he brings up the subject of your bedroom or alludes to pillow talk during a phone call, get off the phone immediately. Frankly, what he has been doing is creepy. If it continues, you will have to end the relationship and hire a handyman.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.